Romans chapter number 6. Romans chapter number 6 this morning. Romans chapter number 6. All right. Be quiet. All right. Got to take care of some business here real quickly. I was given a note here. But this note has to do with some of my bus workers, so I just want to make sure everything that happens with our lady workers, I always have to, everything has to go through me. But there was a note that does say that there's a couple of my lady workers that are needing a date for Harvest Fest. But just to help you out, okay, number one, first of all, anybody that wants to date any of my lady bus workers have to be approved by me first. And then the parent. No, I'm just kidding. Which means that 99.9% of you are not able to because you're worthless. Since I have the best lady bus workers in the world, it takes somebody of high caliber to date our young ladies. But we do have Abby Sapp and Abby Salceda that are... They do not have a date right now, so all right, we can get that taken care of. Sorry. I just lost two bus workers. If you got your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 6. I must hasten because Brother King wasted too much time with announcements. No. Romans chapter 6 this morning. Romans chapter 6, we're going to begin reading here in verse number 12. We're going to read through verse 19. Romans chapter 6, verse number 12. And we'll read through verse 19. Follow along as I read. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it and the lusts thereof. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then shall we sin, because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were not the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. Being then made free from sin, ye have become servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members, servants to uncleanness, into iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members, servants to righteousness unto holiness. Now, out of this passage that we just read, what is a word that kind of sticks out there that that we have here is being written here? Yield. Yield. We're talking about yielding to the flesh, or yielding yourselves as instruments of unrighteousness, yielding your members as instruments of unrighteousness, but also in verse 13, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. So basically, this morning, I'm going to be preaching to you: yield or not to yield. Because we are going to yield to somebody. We have to choose who we're going to yield to. Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for chapel this morning. I ask that you would just work in our hearts, Lord, and Lord, use your word, you just thought, Lord, to help us to be usable to you. We ask these things in your name. Amen. When I got saved at 7 years old, God saved me just as I am. We sing the song, just as I am with one plea. You know what? That God saves us just as we am. But you know something? God did not leave me just as I was. From the millisecond that you trusted Christ as your Savior, God began to do a work in your life as he began a work in my life. To make me into something and to make me into somebody who he could use for his honor and for his glory. He had to take us and he had to begin to mold and manufacture a work in my life. As I believe we said, we had yesterday in Ephesians 2:10, We are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto what? Good works. God has a work for my life, and he has a work for your life. Every one of us, from the millisecond we trusted Christ as our Savior, we got a new life in Christ, and God begins to do a work in your life for him. He's going to take every single one of us and say, I'm going to create in you, I'm going to start working on you and molding you into something and someone that I can use for my glory, for the work of the ministry, for the cause of Christ. That's what he began to do in our life. But as we see here in Romans chapter 6, we have a choice to make. I have to choose to yield to his work. I have to choose to be yielded to what God is doing in my life. And I can also still, unfortunately, I still have the opportunity to choose to yield to my flesh. I can yield to the world. I can yield to the temptations of Satan. I can yield to myself to my fleshly lusts. I can yield to my carnal nature. I can yield to that and allow it to have its work in my life. I can allow it to make me and shape me and form me how it wants. But I have to choose between the two. And we see here in Romans chapter 6, he says, I don't want you to yield. Don't yield to the mortal body. Don't yield to the lust of the flesh. But I want you to be yielded to God. You have to be yielded to God as members of a righteousness. Let me see if I got it here, if everything got rearranged. Where is it at? Where is it at? Where is it at? Oh, somebody take it. Where is it at? There it is. I found it. When I was a kid, I used to love watching TV. Sorry, I was a sinner. But then I grew in Christ. I grew in the Lord, and now I only watch TV sometimes. No, I'm just kidding. But there used to be a show, I don't know, I think the show is still on. There used to be a show called How It's Made. And from the, I don't know when I watched it, but man, I fell in love with the show called, this documentary of How It's Made. Because ever since I was a kid, I love figuring out how stuff is made. I just, God gave me that mind. I love to figure stuff out. I mean, I remember in the garage, I tore more stuff apart in my garage and some of it I got put back together before Dad found out. But I love to find out, I mean, if it was a vacuum cleaner, I was taking it apart. I wanted to find out what makes it tick. I love taking tools apart. I love taking some of my dad's equipment apart. I like to find out what makes things work, and then you put it all back together. It's cool. And I remember watching the show, and they showed me, they had the introduction. It's like, how it's made. And that day, they were showing, you're going to demonstrate how a wrench was made. How does it become a 5/8 wrench? And they began to go through the details about how, first of all, it starts out in the ground. As they would excavate and they would start out taking the iron ore, this useless, worthless iron ore, out of the dirt. And they would take it to the refineries as they began to refine the iron and the metals that would become this wrench. And eventually it would go through the heating process, and as the dross was pulled out, and finally it became the right alloys that were the right kind to be able to make this wrench. And as this metal ingots and these rods would be taken to a factory, and they began the process of taking this metal that had been dug out of the earth, refined, and they would begin to manufacture this wrench. It would go through a process of a lot of times they even say that it was drop forging, where they take these massive presses, and they would heat it up cherry red, and all these presses would drop down and just boom, and they would chunk out the basic shape of a wrench. And then it went through there's just one after another, just ka-chunk, ka-chunk, ka-chunk. And then the next process, it would go to the next place of refinement. And they would begin to grind away some of the edges. It started taking shape. It started taking form. And it would continue. Each machine began to make different dies and different cutters and different grinders would begin to shape the form of the wrench. It'd go to one place, and there would be one machine that would take a big giant stamp and just go, and it'd blow the hole for the closed end part of the wrench. And then there was another part, so they had a big grinder that was just that wide, and it would grind through the end of this part of the wrench and start making the 5/8 opening of this wrench. And to go through all this process of refining and tech and grinding and pressing and heat treatments and then they would finally get to the polishing, where they would go through and they begin to start polishing, and they'd get this little stamp on there and say where it was from. It says Kmart. Why does it say Kmart? Yeah. I love Kmart when I was a kid. But basically, as you go through this process of refining and to finally, at the very end, to be able to find a polished, fine-tuned, ground up, just perfectly fitted 5/8 wrench. And it took that process to become the tool that was usable by the mechanic. And I look at our Christian lives, from the time we get saved, God takes something out of the ground, takes something that was useless, but God saw something very precious. He takes each one of us and pulls us up and says, okay, I have you now, you belong to me, I'm going to make something out of you. But it's going to take some refinement. It's going to take some grinding. It's going to take some heat treatment. It's going to take sometimes it takes a few hard whops to start to change us. And God begins to work in our lives, and God begins to modify us, and he uses people to do so. Sometimes it's your pastor. Sometimes it's your parents. As you're growing up, your parents are forming you and bringing you up the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Sometimes it's your pastor. Sometimes it's your parents. Sometimes it's Brother King. Sometimes you end up in his office and he's refining you. Sometimes it's your bus captain. Sometimes it's your division leader. Sometimes it's Brother Wilkerson. But all these people are in there. They're slowly refining and chiseling away and taking away that which is not useful. And getting things lined up to where it makes us useful in the hand of the master. But we have to be yielded to him. At any point, I could say, I quit, I give up, I don't want this anymore, leave me alone, and it becomes useless. But when God is working on you, let me challenge you, stay yielded to him. When God is changing you, when you're hearing the preaching and the Holy Spirit's convicting you, stay yielded. Don't push it away. Don't harden your heart. Stay yielded to the Holy Spirit's work. But secondly, when God uses you, don't yield. Once this is manufactured and I pull it out of the toolbox and I'm looking to loosen a bolt, that is when I need this wrench to not yield. I don't want it to bend. I don't want it to break. I don't want it to snap right here and crack. I need this wrench to hang in there while I use it. I need it to stay faithful to me. I need it to, when I get on that 5/8 bolt and I start wrenching on that, that's why they call it a wrench. When I start wrenching on it and I am pulling off, I don't want this to snap off and cause my knuckles to bleed. Because then I say things that I'm not supposed to say. Amen? Okay? I discovered it's best when I work on my car to work on my car alone. But when God uses me, now listen, when God is using you, don't fail. Don't quit. Stay faithful. Don't yield to the temptation to quit. Don't yield to the temptation to be lazy. Don't yield to the temptation to say, oh, let somebody else do it. Don't yield to the temptation of, oh, I'm going to take the day off. Don't yield to the temptation of, well, I found an easier way and I just, now I don't have to worry about the standards. I don't have to worry about. No. When God uses you, don't yield. Yield yourself as an instrument of righteousness, but don't yield when the temptation to quit comes. When the temptation to say, oh, it's too much. I can't take it. No, God has given us the strength, you know? And we need to not yield during that time. But let me talk to you about something else. For 20 years, after I graduated from college, this was me. Hey, I graduated from college, got my 4 years, well, I squeezed 4 years into five, but I got my 5 years of Ohio Anderson, graduated. Man, I want to be a servant of God. I am going to be faithful. I'm going to be yielded to him. I'm going to go out, punch holes in the darkness. So I got hired out of my home church. Man, that was awesome. To be able to go back to my home, what a privilege to be able to go back to my home church and to be able to serve there and to be able to be an assistant pastor. I loved it. It was the dream job. Of course, there's ministry issues, you know, stuff like you just, you know, weird bus kids and, you know, teenagers and stuff like that. And I have some of those weird teenagers right here, Kelly. But this was me. It's like, awesome, having a good time. But there came a time when God had to do something that I wasn't expecting. This is what kind of reminded me of how God works. There was a time when I was working in our bus ministry. When I came back as assistant pastor, I kind of worked on all the buses, kept them all running and things like that. And there came a time when I needed to remove a bolt from underneath the bus. And it was a 5/8 nut, and I had to get it off. So I got the 5/8 wrench, but I could not get where it was located. I could not get the wrench on the nut because of how straight this was, and I just could not reach it. And I'm like, and of course again, I was by myself. but I was trying everything. I couldn't put a socket on it. I couldn't put a crescent wrench on it. I couldn't put anything on it, and I got frustrated. So I need something that's fitted for this purpose. It needed to kind of like go around the corner. And so what I had to do is I had to take this wrench, and I whacked it off. Took it over to the cutoff saw, and I cut the end of it off. And I ground it. I made it look like that. Yeah. Ugly. I whacked it off and I welded it back together, but it served a purpose. I had to reach around the corner. I couldn't reach it. So this here didn't work. I had to modify this wrench for a special purpose. Now, this wrench, probably if I was this wrench, I probably wouldn't have been happy about that. What you doing to me, man? But I had to modify this wrench in order to serve a special purpose. And between 2015 and 2017, God took about 2 years of my life and says, you know what, Dan? I know you're a nice, pretty wrench, but I need to modify some things in you. I'm gonna take some time here, and I'm going to do some grinding on you that you weren't expecting. I'm gonna do some cutting on you that you weren't expecting. During 2015, my wife and I would lose two children to miscarriages. My father-in-law, godly, one of the godliest men I know, John Knapp, my wife's biological father from Des Moines, super awesome guy. He loved the Lord. He was a soul winner, just as finest Christian you'll ever meet. He actually went around churches helping him set up PA systems, the APA guys. He was an awesome guy. We got a phone call. He says, yeah, he started having some sensation problems. Went to the doctor. They said, guess what? Sorry to tell you this, but you have glioblastoma. You have a very aggressive cancer in your frontal lobe. We don't know how much time you have. We think maybe 6 months. And what was it, 5 weeks? And as we watched him every day, every opportunity we can, every Monday I would take off and we would go visit him, drive the 2 hours to go visit him, and just to see him declining. Just every time we'd come there, he would lose his ability to, finally he couldn't talk. He would want to talk, but he had great faculties, but he couldn't talk. And we had to walk him around just to see every time you'd see him fading. And within 5 weeks, we had his funeral. May 2016 was not a banner day in the life of Dan Nelson. I woke up in that morning, and I ran over my dog. Yeah, my dog of 15 years, my 15-year-old hunting buddy, who had been loyal to me all his life, I raised him from a pup. I ran him over. Thanks, pal. And of course, my daughter was with me, Josiah. He was out painting the deck. Hey, Dad, just ran over our dog. That's when you know your day is starting out bad, okay? So I go around to the back of the car. I pick up my dog. I put him in a box, and I'm taking him to make him go away. There's no nice way of saying it. But as I'm driving down the road, my phone begins to ring. This is a Monday. Sunday before had been just a terrific banner year at Gospel Light Baptist, banner Sunday at Gospel Light Baptist Church. My phone begins to ring, and I reach up, and I'm just, you know, already contemplating how bad of a day it was. And it was the pastor's son. My pastor, Pastor Ron Moore, that he's been my pastor all my life since I was a kid. And I get a call from Pastor Son. He says, Brother Nelson, he says, preacher had a heart attack this morning and he's in heaven. I cannot tell you at that second how it's just, if sometimes things hit you, and I think some of you have felt this before, when something hits you so hard, it's like you can't even breathe. You're trying to breathe, but you can't because your mind is just, you can't absorb the information that has just been given. And you're trying to process it, you're trying to figure it out, and you're all of a sudden your world begins to spin, and you're like, what's going on? And you know at that very sec, as your brain is processing this information, you know your life will never be the same again. And I remember the next few days and the next few weeks as our pastor, our church mourned the loss of our pastor, and just the whole, he was everything we'd ever known. And to those of you who were here at First Baptist Church in 2001, you know what it felt like when Pastor Hiles went to heaven. And as you begin to go through these things, and as my life, and just all these things that were just one after another, it's like I could never get my feet underneath of me and get my footing. As I going through these funerals and then just the uncertainty of the church. And then through the process of time, a perfect storm brew in my home church. Won't go into the details, but basically it ended up with wonderful, godly people who I love and who loved each other at odds. And to see a church wrenched apart, and my life wrenched apart, and the people's lives wrenched apart. And there was times when I would go to bed, and I was just like, I would just start crying and crying and crying, and just to where you cry until your stomach's knotted up, and you just want to crawl up in a ball and die. It's those times when God's looking down and says, I'm allowing something to happen in your life that you're not going to like, but I need you to stay yielded to me. Don't yield to bitterness. Don't yield to anger. Don't yield to the flesh. Don't yield to the desire to quit. Don't yield. No. Stay yielded to God, because God might be making something, doing something in your life and formulating something in your life. I thought about this in thinking of this message. I actually last spring I went out to the bus garage here, and I asked the mechanics. It says, "Hey, have you ever had to modify a tool to make it, you know, to make it more useful?" You should have seen their eyes. They lit up like, "Yeah, you want to see them?" Like, "Wow, okay, yeah." So they come on back here. You know, and they reached out about the third drawer down, and he pulled out the whole drawer of the weirdest looking things you've ever seen in your life. How's that one for you? I'm like, well, that one got whacked off that part, went that part. I got all kinds of weird things going on here. And I got to looking, and I go, do you realize that when we stay yielded to God, when He makes changes in our life that we weren't expecting, maybe even don't like, but it makes us that much more precious and usable to Him? God says, hey, there's somebody that, I had to allow this in your life. He says, but hang in there, yield to me, allow me to do this in your life, allow me to allow it in your life, but there's a special purpose for your life. I'm going to use you in a way that you never thought you could be used. There's something, there's an effect, there's a work that needs to be done, but I need somebody who I can allow this to happen to, where I can take you and then use you afterwards to do a great work. Maybe it's losing a 17-year-old boy, as Pastor Wilkerson did. Maybe it's my new pastor, Tim McCurdy. He had a 2-year-old son that almost drowned and spent the next 13, 14 years as basically as a vegetable. God allows things in our lives, but it's not just because he wants to mess it up. It's because there's a special purpose that you don't know about, that you don't even understand yet. But God is saying, I need you to hang in there, bud. I need you to stick with me here. I just say, don't quit. Don't fail. Don't yield. Don't quit. I need you just to hang in there because there's a special purpose that I need just for you. And when we stay yielded to him, when we stick with him, and we don't yield to bitterness, we don't yield to anger, we don't yield to that, we say, God, I trust you. Whatever it is, I'll let you do it. And when we stay yielded to him, we become very precious to him. And it seems like I tried it on tour. We were going on tour, and we were, I think it was up in New York or Connecticut. I don't know, someplace out east, west, somewhere in the United States. I got lost after. I just followed my phone. But I stopped. We stopped at a church, and they said that we got there early, and they said, "Hey, you know, we're here early. Anything to help out? You know." So they sent the girls inside to go do some cleaning and, you know, watch the kids in the nursery or something. I don't know. They sent me out to the garage. I got to go work on tools. You know, work on a couple trucks. It was so much fun. You know, because after spending, you know, several weeks in a van with seven women, it gets really okay. I needed some man time, okay? So they said, hey, there's a couple old plow trucks out there in the field. Hey, if you were trying to sell them, can you get them running? I'm like, let me at them, you know? So I went out there, and I mean, I got to get into the grease and the oil and the gasoline, just kind of, you know. But some of you have never touched a wrench in your life. Get over it. All right. But listen. But you know, I went to their tool tray. I says, I'm just gonna try it out. Open up a couple of them. Sure enough, there it was. I found a screwdriver. Bam. I found this. I found that. What happens is God is looking for some people. Yes, we need to allow him to refine us, to make us. But when he changes us, we still need to be yielded. We need to allow him and not get bitter, not get angry, not quit. Because we do, we become that much more precious to him. Some of you, you know what I'm talking about. You've already been through some pretty rough stuff in your life. You didn't come from this family. You came from this family. You didn't have the normal upbringing. This was your upbringing. Stay yielded to the master. Allow him to use you. And lastly, I'll finish with this. Sometimes we are not broken because of what God has done. Sometimes we're broken because of what we've done. We've made mistakes. We've goofed up. We blew it big time. Out in Iowa, we have lots of farmers. We have lots of cows, lots of pigs, lots of corn, lots of soybeans. But every farmer has their pole barn. And this is one thing I've learned about Iowans. We don't throw stuff away. You can go into any pole barn, and you'll find piles and piles of stuff that we're going to use. Okay? My dad, about 20 years ago, built a pole barn and says, I'm not going to be one of those guys that packs their pole barn full of junk. I can't barely get into it. But farmers never throw anything away because they're going to find a good use for it. When we come to God broken because of mistakes that we've made, don't give up. Allow him to make something great out of you. God will take something that's broken, something that's twisted, something that's messed up, something that's cracked, something that God says, oh, no, I can make something great out of this. And when anyone that God touches and God begins to work in, it makes us that much more precious, that much more valuable. And it brings him so much more glory when we are yielded to him. So when God's working in your life, stay yielded. Don't yield. Don't be a servant of failure. Don't be a servant of quitting. Don't be a servant of the flesh. Don't be a servant of sin. Make yourself an instrument of righteousness. Every head bowed, every eye closed this morning. Heavenly Father, Lord, I ask that you would take the thought, just a simple thought, Lord, and Lord, I ask that you would make known your will in each one of our lives. And as you begin to mold us, as you begin to refine us, as you begin to make us useful and fit for your purpose. Lord, may we recognize it. And Lord, may our heart stay in tune with thine. Lord, may we be used of you in a great way. We want to bring you glory. We want to bring you honor. We want to be a tool. We want to be a vessel in your hand. Lord, please use us.